The Magician's Code.
Welcome back to The Magician's Code. My name is Hadlin, and on this episode, we're going to dive into the mind of an amazing magician, hypnotist, DJ, and his name is Andrew Kanakin. Now, me and this guy, we go back a long time, so I'm super excited to just jump into this, so let's go. How's it going, Andrew?
Really good. Really, really good. Good seeing you right now. I'm very excited, actually. So
yeah, man.
We definitely go way back, that's for sure.
Oh, yeah. So
it's been, what, 10 years? 10 years now?
Dude, I haven't even kept track of the time, so you're probably exactly right.
I know a thing on Facebook popped up the other day. It was a photo of us back in the old martial arts days. And I was like, oh, man. Everything was crazy.
That's awesome.
I'm glad.
That's awesome, man. So you do so many different things. How about we just like go through all the different types of things that you surround yourself with? And I just want to quickly add before you do, pretty much everything that you do is like so healthy for the mind and the body. You do amazing work. So yeah, how about you just give everybody a quick run through of your origin story, your story so far. I don't know.
Yeah. So my, with entertainment, with magic, the best thing is a lot of people might not know this. My origin story actually comes from Hadlin himself. Again, well, like, yeah, 9-10 years ago, I was at a house party because we knew each other through martial arts and stuff. And we actually went to the same high school, crazy enough, like not together. We're enough years apart. We actually never went to school together, but we'd go to the same high school. So we were at a house party and he showed me a card trick. Now for the magicians out there, it was a card trick where he was explaining to me how it was done, but really actually fooling me at the same time. So there's two types of people in the world. Especially I tell my audience sometimes, there's the people who can sit back and enjoy the magic and appreciate it. There's the other half who want to know how it's done, right? You want to know, like, oh, what's the method? Like, how is it done, right? So I was that kind of person. I was like, how did he just fool me? Like, that's crazy. So, you know, I went on YouTube and stuff. Because luckily for me, I'm a younger guy. So I got to have the luck. I was lucky enough to have the technology to learn pretty quick with online things and videos and stuff like that too, as long with books. But it definitely jump-started me really, really fast. And then, you know, for that year and a half afterwards, you kind of took me under your wing and trained me and, you know, coins, obviously, cards, sleight of hand, misdirection. Then it grew to that walk around magic and then stage shows. And at the time, too, we were doing hypnosis and after grads. And I was like, oh, man, so cool. Like, I remember going to the exhibition and seeing people go on stage and like, man, that's not legit. Right? That's they're full of it. Like they're stooges. They're
paid
they're,
actors, man.
Come on. You know, like there's no way.
Yeah.
But then one of my friends at the time was that year, it was like the third year I saw it, was up on stage and happened to her. I was like, okay, it's legit. I was like, I need to learn this. Like it's super cool. It's the levels of how intricate and amazing it is and powerful it is. It's just threw me into it so fast, and I had you there as a mentor to get me into it and start doing it. And so that happened. And then so I was magic, hypnosis, and then the DJing thing kind of came along.
Yeah, and I just want to quickly add before we get to the DJ part, is like I may have like mentored you and been there to help you along the way, but you have that work ethic to just grind things to the point where you learn them at a high level. And then you went off on your own and you've gotten to the point now where maybe I taught you some things, but now you teach me things, which is awesome, dude. That's my favorite part.
The cool thing with the community we have here and what you're doing right now with this podcasting and all these magicians together and entertainers is you can take something from everybody, like every single person you can learn from. And I learn from magicians and entertainers every single day, whether that's, one-to-one in person, or maybe I see the stuff they're doing, or they inspire me. And so again, it's getting the right footing, getting that right base is what, that's how you started with me. And then from there you can take off because everyone's different. Entertainers are different, right? Whether you're a comedy magician, or maybe you're more serious or more like a mentalist kind of thing, or you like just doing kids events, or you like close up walk around, you like huge stage.
And, exactly, you know, man.
Large scale too. So
how did you,
I kind of branched off at that point.
Yeah, so. You branched off. Were you getting to the DJ part?
Yeah.
How did you get into that? Where did that begin?
I had a show. It was a stage show out in Winnipeg. So they flew me out there. I did a stage show. It was like 100 or so people. And after my show, I got off stage and this DJ came on and then I started playing music. And now I love music. And I went to fine arts elementary school, learned some instruments, but by no means am I a professional musician at all. I know a couple things on piano, guitar, whatever. My friends are far superior. I know the bare bones. So it's I love music, but I'm not that, I haven't had that time to, hone it. So I love music. And I'm like, man, DJing is really cool. Why not for me? Why don't I have the ability to do, magic and then DJ as well, do a full package, being able from the start to the night, all the way to the end, be a one-stop shop of premium entertainment that the client, when they hire somebody, they know what they're getting. They know that it's going to be high quality. It's one paycheck they're writing. It's one company. It's one trusted source. And it makes it easier for everybody involved, whether that's the venue, whether that's the clients, whether that's, entertainers themselves. And that kind of came, it wasn't an epiphany by any means, but I was like, oh man, I could do that. Yes. So same thing that happened with me and you, I found a mentor with DJing as well, my buddy Nick. And
right.
Same thing, took me under his wing. And I've been so, so fortunate to have people who I can talk to and who can mentor me, who can bounce ideas off each other and grow together. And that's, I think, where true, really cool ideas come about and things like mm-hmm. that.
So, and that's one of the things that I've taken that from you as a lesson. And that's kind of what I've been doing for the last, I don't even know how many years now, is just trying to learn from as many people as possible, coming up to now where it's just ramping right up where I want to learn from everybody.
And and that's a cool thing with you right now too. You have the opportunity to talk to all these magicians. You get a, be ask them the questions you want and what it's specific to them. Cause each one of us has a niche or has a unique experience that they can share with you and with all of each other as well, whether that's in Saskatoon, Saskatchewan, the world. And it's something that bonds us all too. Cause when you tell people you're a magician, they're like, oh yeah, you're all the same, but we're so different. All of us, or how we started, my origin story is, different than 99% of magicians. I didn't start when I was a kid, or I didn't start when I was 10 or 15. I started 17, 18. And so I was a little bit late bloomer, I guess. So it's just different. And every person has these different stories. And that's what separates us, makes us unique.
Exactly.
So when we go to these events, we're different. Right? Mm-hmm.
And then when we present on stage, we have stories that we draw from our personal experiences and we share who we are on the stage.
That's what can connect people as well, right? When you're, again, people, there's different styles. So some people have a persona on stage and that's cool. That's what they like to do. Maybe they're a really shy person. Then when they're on stage, they have a stage name and there's a whole new person. And that's cool. They get the passion for it and that, motivates them. And that's awesome. For me, I'm on the side of more, I try to be myself. I do more comedy kind of stuff in my magic shows. I try to have fun with it. I'm not that serious of an entertainer, I guess, or magician. That's just me though. It's my style. That's what I've kind of grown into. I'm still growing. I've still tons more to learn, mistakes to make. I feel like I'm at the start almost.
Oh yeah. Feels like, dude, but I know
we look back on it, reflect on it. You're like, oh man, I've been doing this for 10 years.
I think that's the best mentality to have, is that you're just starting, because not until you're even we're lucky. We can do this. We can perform up until we're 80, or until, even if we can't even walk on the stage anymore, we can still perform. That's the crazy part, right? We could be on stage. We never have to retire. So in reality, we look forward and we have pretty much the entire rest of our lives, and the amount that we've lived so far really isn't that much. So we are just starting. And I think that's so important, and it humbles a person,
I know every magician who's, listen to this, they can probably relate when you tell somebody you're, you're a magician, whether you're part-time or full-time, whatever it is, you get to do what you love. Oh, that's crazy. And, or how do you get into it? And all this, right? You've all got that question. How do you start? How do you get into it? And people, it blows my mind, because a lot of people are doing stuff that maybe they have a expiration date on, or maybe they don't love so much. And I think we take it for granted sometimes. Like, we create and perform magic and give people that experience that, you know, whether it's that 1 hour of a stage show, they can get away from every other thought and worry in their life and just kind of focus on one thing and have that being mystified for an hour. It's crazy. Being away from off their phones for an hour or whatever it is, off the internet. Or maybe if you're performing on the computer, you can still do it like right now with everything happening. It's a perfect time to, you know, take that, go online and still entertain people when everyone's, you know, segregated and everyone's kind of alone, or whether they're, you know, stuck in their house. It's, you just got to adapt, and it's wild. Just wild.
Yeah, man. So, especially
unique careers we have
during this time too. Like, it's affected every single magician out there, every single entertainer even, and obviously everybody in the world, but like, that's how we make money, is at live events with people. Have you been dabbling in the online show, like Zoom?
Not in the show per se. What I've been doing is I was at home and I, a couple of different networking groups and different friends I was talking to, like, hey, Andrew, like, we should, you know, maybe do a show, and for like some close friends or for their kids or, you know, whatever, like nothing paid for or anything, like a free kind of show. I was like, oh yeah, that'd be cool. But I thought back, I was like, you know what, like, obviously all this time now at home, why don't I just take all these clips? Like, I've done a lot of social media stuff over the few years, whether it's for like an Instagram story or full videos, like we've done videos together, take these videos, put them, chop them up, put them all together as like a highlight reel, you know, a compilation video. So I released a couple of those, I guess, and just told, I sent them like personally to people too. I posted and sent them like, hey, here's something. Sit down with your kids, watch it, or your significant other, whoever, by yourself. Just enjoy it. Nice. Have some laughs, smile, and like that, let that be your release, I guess, because all the news happening, it's nice to kind of, we are allowed to take people away from stuff. And that's what's really cool about us.
Like an escape.
It's an escape. And everyone has their own escape. Like, whether that be, you know, physical activity or maybe like reading books or whatever, everyone has their own thing. So it's, everyone has their, yeah, it's really, really unique what we're capable of doing right now. It's got to be creative enough to think about it. So, or just practice. Like, everyone's at home right now practicing. Like, all the entertainers I'm talking to, it's a perfect time to hone your craft or even that work on your business. You know, whether that be ideas in the future, what you can do. Because I know it's a lot of us entertainers, like, we're probably the last people able to work realistically.
Yeah.
Because we deal with the largest groups of people. So whether they're rolling out, you know, 30 people, 50, 100, like if you're doing shows or weddings or events or festivals, like that's a long way down the road. So we just got to think long-term and stay optimistic. Like, we're all talking, we're all, you know, there's no point of thinking back on it, like, because you can't control it. So just keep pushing forward. And what can you do? What keeps you going? What keeps you motivating? And talking to people like this is the best platform. Anytime I talk to people, I get motivated. After a phone call, after a chat, I'm like, oh yeah, let's go. Let's get some stuff going. Ideas popping up.
Yeah, man. This has been my favorite thing. Just talking with magicians, learning from them. What are you working on these days in regards to magic performance?
So performance stuff, I'm trying to adapt things I've been doing over the years, like more so all the walk around stuff I've changed over the last couple of years, whether it's not the pattern per se, but actually it's not the pattern or the method, but how I perform something. I want to change that and make it larger scale, so for larger audiences. So whether it's best suited for, you know, 5 to 10 people, can I make that and perform for 100? Or how can I go about doing
right
that? So take something, I'll try it out, maybe it just doesn't work, that's cool, leave it to the side, get back to it later, you know, put it on a shelf, and hopefully the idea pops up when you're watching a video or talking to somebody else. Somebody will say something and like it cues you. You're like, oh yeah, that could work. My other thing too is not just, yeah, with magic. Yeah, just trying to keep up new things, new like marketing, staying, connecting with people who've already kind of following me to keep them happy. And it's been good. Just trying to keep busy is the main thing.
Yeah, man.
Because, you know, like everyone has lazy days. I have lazy days. I don't want to say like, oh yeah, I'm grinding every single 7 days a week.
Yeah.
20 hours a day.
I have to say that you've got the business side, at least from my perspective, you have the business side like on lock.
Yeah.
Where did that come from? Where'd you start learning that?
I think it was the same thing where I talked to people. I'm not with a lot of the business stuff, it wasn't even talking to magicians. It was talking to other business owners and entrepreneurs. Like, how do you build? How do you expand? For me, because as a lot of magicians, we're one person. We only do so many shows in a year. Mm-hmm. How can you take that and expand it? So that's what I've been kind of pushing towards to do. How can I make my business and, you know, times two, times 10, times 20 over so many years? Or what steps do I have to do to accomplish that? Or sometimes, hey, I only want to do X amount of shows a year. Well, how can I make it that much better, that much more epic, that much more theatrical, perhaps, that I can do larger shows and more people? And that's the way you can grow as well. So for me, for the marketing, though, just try to create content. Like, I'll be the first person to say, like, as a business, like, I think regular people can love social media. As a business person, I'm going to be honest, I don't love social media that much. It's stressful. It's a lot of work.
It takes so much time, man.
It's unbelievable. Like, people think, like, when how you get perceived on social media, people are like, oh, yeah, like, they're living their best life, right? But, man, it's a lot of work to create content. Whether it's even just a picture or a video, it can be really tough. Sometimes it just comes naturally. I'll do something, or someone will take a picture and I'll post it and it's, oh, awesome, it's really cool. Or I'm at an event and something was really cool happened, or my show went awesome and whatever. That stuff can happen naturally, but sometimes you got to plan things out and it can get really taxing. And or you're doing like stories and stuff. Like, the marketing is a lot of people's business, because say, like, look at any other profession, like, you'd be the best, like, there's, you'd be the best magician. And I know, you know, I'm not by any means the best magician around, like, technically. I'd be like, I know magicians who are amazing sleight of hand, like, amazing. Will they go out and do a stage show? No, a lot of the time they don't. They just like, you know, they just like doing it. There's like doing cardistry. They like doing flourishes. They like doing that kind of stuff. And they're not so much performers. So there's amazing people who don't want to do the marketing side. They don't even want to have the ambition to do shows. And that's cool too. For me, I'm always about, like, how can I keep going and to get it bigger? And for me, the social media seemed like an easy, at the time, it seemed like an easy thing to do. Like, okay, let's make these accounts, get the website, do all this kind of stuff, push it out there for people to see. But it's a lot. Like, you can work on that, man, you can work on the coolest top change or the coolest, like, you know, pass and record. Like, it'll take you a week, 2 weeks, months, years to learn and do. You'll do a video and then you post it and just nothing.
I have to say, though, that's like one of the best ways to practice is trying to make a video, because then you do it and then you look at it and you're like, damn it. You do it again.
Yep.
And then you're like, okay, fine. Maybe I'll do like 100 takes. Oh, damn it. None of them worked. But like, all the while you're getting those reps and practice in.
And that's, it can be tedious, I think, for people to, you know, do simple things like just, the best way for me to look back, like I said, like looking back, it's been 10 years. I'll switch hands and then try to do those same moves. I'm like, man, it does not come as easily. Like, okay, I did have to practice it. Not muscle memory. Like, you know, you're doing one hand cuts with both hands. Sure. Cause you practice doing one hand cuts with both hands, but doing other more intricate stuff with your opposite hand gets a little bit more tricky. So that kind of grounds me sometimes. Like, oh man, like, I feel like I'm just fumbling these cards around trying to do something where I just feels with my other hand feel so natural. So that always kind of grounds me too, is thinking, okay, we did put a lot of time in. Like, man, sitting at your house, I was just doing, you know, double lift. Like, bam, double lift, double lift.
Oh man. Flash. And I had no idea what I was doing.
It was nuts. Like,
I was not qualified to teach you, bro.
Hey, I disagree. But I think a really cool thing, because you were already in magic like for years at that point.
Yeah, I was full time already.
Yeah, so I remember I showed up. And I showed up and you were teaching me these like basic stuff, you know, for, you know, magicians, whether it's just a pass or a double lift or a top change, whatever it was, or it's coin stuff. You love coins.
Yeah, like, still do, man. Coins. Still do.
And you told me that. Yeah, well, coins are huge. Like you said, if you fool someone with coins and misdirect them with coins, cards, you're going to, you know, go above and beyond with. So that was pretty cool. But you said, like, teaching me these basic stuff, it got you thinking about these old things and old routines and old moves they haven't thought about in a long time. Mm-hmm. And it kind of, you know, restarted your kind of mindset with some stuff. And I was like, I think it's really important. Teaching somebody can help you out too, I would hope.
Oh, yeah.
Because I don't even.
Oh, yeah. It did. With
school, like math problems, I would say help a friend out. I'm like, man, like, teaching somebody or helping somebody study helps you retain it, at least how I get, how I teach.
And then you've also started teaching people, right?
Yeah, I had a couple. It was more of a, it was a program with social services kind of thing. There was these people. Okay, this is crazy how powerful magic is, because there were these kids who, they weren't really intellectual disabilities, but they had trouble making friends in school. I think it was grade 6 or 7. So I met with them for about a couple of months and just taught them card magic and just card tricks and something, whether it's simple stuff, whether it's just like a math card trick, perhaps, so you don't need, you know, sleight of hand for.
Like the 21 card trick or something.
You know, with three piles of three or whatever. Yeah, exactly. Whatever it was. That kind of stuff. And they can go out and then talk to people, perform for them, and it's automatic conversation starter. It's really cool that way, because think about before magic, walking up to a group of people for an hour straight and just introducing yourself to a group of people. It's like, oh, hey, how's it going? It's like, and then don't perform it. Like, don't do anything. Like, you know, start a conversation.
Yeah.
But with magic, you have that opening. You have that, oh, hey, by the way, you always want to see something really cool, or this I want to show you or try on you. And it gave them confidence and gave them something that they could use, you know, to make friends and to be more social. And that was pretty unique. Like, it wasn't to perform and be professional. So it was just a skill to have, which was really, really cool. Really, really fun. So that was kind of neat.
Were you kind of introverted before magic?
I was introverted in elementary school, maybe grade 9, 10.
Yep.
I started getting a lot more out there at grade like 11, 12. And that's kind of when magic came around. I wouldn't say magic made me more extroverted per se, but now, like, I feed off being with people. I love it. Like, love it. Like, just conversations like this, like, it fuels me up. Like, it gets my blood
going. What's the first thing you're doing once they lift everything and we can...
Ooh, man. Everything?
Yeah. What's the first thing you're doing?
Probably seeing my friends.
Yeah.
Like, seeing...
All just hugging them all.
Man, I just... Yeah, just going out, maybe going like to the pool hall or go bowling or something active. Like, I know it's going to be, everything's kind of going to roll out. So I think it's going to be more gradual. So it won't be like, okay, everyone's free now and get released. And we're also going to go into bars and stuff or whatever it is. I think it's going to be more gradual. So people won't have the urge to just like everyone just go out at one time.
Yeah, because it was so sudden of a thing that happened. So they, instead of us going and ramping slowly into it, we're ramping slowly out of it.
Right. Yeah.
Interesting.
We're going to have sun stop almost. Now we're going to kind of tape off, which is, again, that's what they're like. I don't, depends when this is getting released, but as of here recently, they're releasing a program for Saskatchewan to get out of this and to be optimistic that, hey, there is an end to this. We're doing great things. And for people to have something to look forward to.
What did they say?
I've been optimistic for the whole time with it. So, well, it was actually, it was this morning. It's a 5-stage program. So hopefully here, May 4th, that's the next stage. So dental offices and things like that are coming out.
When?
And then May 4th.
May 4th. Oh, wow.
So in like, yeah, so soon.
Ooh.
So like
Star Wars Day.
Businesses, like chiropractic, therapist. Yeah. Very special day. And then like the 14th or 17th or something like that, they're doing... another rollout, golf courses and stuff are going to be opening mid-May.
Oh,
dude. And then the rest is up in the air.
That's great news because I've been holding back going to the disc golf course.
Disc golf, yeah. Oh, man.
I've been holding back because I just recently heard that Edmonton shut their course down because they weren't properly socially distancing on the...
Well, it's okay.
But
there's going to be a lot of changes. There's going to be like... I was talking to my buddy this morning because we watched the release and we're texting over it. And he owns a dental clinic. And I was like, oh man, like May 4th, that's awesome. He's like, yeah, but like they're strict on the, you know, the PPE, like all the protection and stuff.
Yeah.
Like it's great. They're opening. People want to work, but it's going to be very strict and it's going to be definitely a change of lifestyle from being in isolation almost to being out in public, but with these strict guidelines.
Right.
But as the Saskatchewan government said, everyone's doing great. Like everyone's, you know, whether it's the grocery stores and stuff, people are trying to stay apart and washing their hands and everything.
The Saskatchewan curve has always been flat, right?
Yeah, we're doing really good. Just like our prairies, nice and flat. So it's been good.
Hey, I like that correlation. That's exactly it, man.
So, but for us, like I said, we're a long ways away. Like for entertainers, we're a long ways away. Like whether it's, you know, weddings. For me, like entertainers, I probably have mentioned as well. Like everything's canceled for till August. I have people looking like September, August, September, October weddings are looking to cancel and events. Grads are trying to do it in June, but I doubt that after grads are going to be really going on.
Yeah, I'm people pretty sure grads are done.
They've come and gone, and people are now looking at next year. This is a whole other issue with entertainers and venues and event planners, because there's only X amount of venues in your city, in your town. Mm-hmm. So all these events typically on Saturday now make this push to Friday or long weekend Sunday.
Yeah.
So people to find dates now that are available, because 2021's already booking up. So it's like these already are pretty booked up Saturdays. So where are they going to find Fridays maybe or Thursday? Like, it's going to be 2021 is going to be wild for entertainers. That's why I'm optimistic. I'm telling everyone, like, and we're going to push through this one, and it's going to be a rough 2020, but get ready, because hit the ground running 2021. That's why I get everything in place now, work on your business.
Yeah. Cause
I'm ready for onslaught of just events and people wanting to go out, wanting to see magic shows, wanting to see people around and beer gardens, entertainers and whatever, and, like, you know, whether you're a magician or whatever.
I just got goosebumps, bro.
Yeah, people are gonna want it. Like, I want it. Like, I miss it. Like, this is the longest stretch I've gone without performing for like a live audience. Like, you know, and I miss it. Like, it's like an itch. I just, like,
yeah, man.
I don't need it to survive by any means, but it gets me. I love it. And it's like, because once you do it, like, we do it because we love it, obviously, because it's a tough career to get into. You're a full time magician. It's kind of tricky to, you know, quit your job or whatever you're doing, quit school to go and, like, hey, mom and dad.
I'm gonna be a how did that conversation go with your parents?
Oh, man, I was supposed to go to medicine. So I was doing my psychology degree at the university, and I just didn't like it. I had some bad taste in my mouth at the university and what I was doing, and I was like, I love this. I like, they've seen me perform, obviously, and they know how passionate I was with it, and they were super supportive. They're like, whatever you want to do, like, we got your back.
Nice.
Because my parents were always like the 9 to 5, that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. It was never for me. I think our generation is, and what, like, all generations around us even are like the entrepreneur mindset and like, hey, create your own schedule, do this kind of stuff. And it sounds great, but it's tough. It's really tough to do, because I did it. It wasn't like a bam, bam, bam. Okay, quit this. I did that. Like, it was a very gradual thing for me of how it all went about, because I tried to, you know, cover all my bases and make it as safe and less risky as possible while still, you know, going all out at it at the same time. So it was, my parents, they're awesome with it. They're
nice.
Super supportive.
That's good, man. That's really good to hear. Okay. I have some people find it tough, but it's more of just a hypothetical situation. It's kind of like if you're to think of legacy kind of thing. So the question goes, imagine a future situation. Maybe it's like 5-10 years from now, who knows? And I want you to imagine that this evil magician went and targeted you and erased Andrew Konecki from the minds of everybody you've ever met.
Well, that guy's rude.
Right? But you have an opportunity. Because this magician tells you there's one way out of this, and that's to be the truest version of you. So you either say, do, perform something, and whatever this something is so Andrew Konecki that it screams Andrew Konecki and everybody gets snapped out of it. What would that thing be?
Yeah. For me, I feel like 10-20, like, I feel like 10-20 years is still the start of my career almost. Like, I feel like that's
5 years from now.
You know, I've
tomorrow.
Yeah, I know, it's crazy.
A little tomorrow.
Yeah, I know, it's crazy. I would
essentially, for me, what screams Andrew Konecki when people see, hear, or
my initial thing is like, what I try to get from anybody is like an emotion, when I perform for people, I want them to experience a certain emotion that they don't experience all the time, like whether it's that, like, that wow factor, you know, like that awe factor, I guess. But if it were like to be an event or something, it'd be something just completely nuts. Like, it'd be like an event where it's like a huge festival with like obviously a huge DJ, all the lighting and jet fog machines, lasers for like all the DJ stuff. There'll be a pool tournament on the side because you only have a pool.
Right.
Maybe some spin classes going on, getting taught in the middle with the music blasting, cards flying all over the place, people getting hypnotized after at the after party. And everyone's having a crazy, crazy good time. And they're like, oh yeah, that was weird. That was Andrew Knack, and that was unique. That was something else.
So you would throw a giant event and throw in all of your passions.
I've always tried to do that. Like even with my shows, I've tried to throw in, like with pool, for example, I've always been trying to incorporate a new pool magic trick, like with an 8-ball or a pool cue into my stage show. Yep. I've been literally thinking about it for 10 years and I haven't really talked. That's what the collaboration thing is important, because I haven't really brought up that topic to other magicians yet.
You know, the appearing cane.
Yeah.
Like, do they make that for pool cue?
Yeah, they don't. Not, at least not a good quality one that I've found, but I want something again different. Like I know people do, even like the 8-ball production, people have different, you know, versions of that, or even use, you can produce any, like save a hanky or anything or a box, you can do productions, but you can do that with any object. I want to do something more very unique and do like a, you know, a full piece on that, incorporating magic and pool or
okay
or, and I've already kind of put music more into my show, because you know I do with the hypnosis and with the DJ and that kind of stuff, try to collaborate to more of that.
Right.
Full. It feels like a fuller show to me. And it seems like it's what I love. And it feels more real to my personality.
And the pool table is almost like a close-up mat too.
It is. So yeah, the cloth. Yeah. So I've even thought of videos to do at pool halls. Mm-hmm. You know, whether there's a four coins across routine that I really loved. I think it was Daniel Garcia. Yeah. It's Daniel Garcia.
Is that Shade? Routine. I think something.
What it was. It was so
Shade or Chink-a-Chink, right?
It was just no gimmick.
Yeah.
It was really clean.
I just recently saw his name? He did it with little nugs of weed for 420.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Man, did you, again,
I forget his name. I should find it, but.
Probably other magicians saw it too on Vanishing Ink. Remember, they did that. A webinar thing with all the different magicians doing like
the biggest magic conference that ever happened. That little thing
that little guy, like, so again in that, like when Daniel Garcia came up, I messaged you, I was like, man, like he's gonna be on, and like, you know, there's a couple magicians came to mind, like if they showed up they'd be so epic, and it was super cool, like that for me, seeing those magicians and performing, like people being in their own houses and doing stuff, it seems so real and so personal.
Yeah.
So that was really cool and motivator. But again, people like that, I want to make something original though. So something, you know, with a pool table. So not that coins across routine, but something with maybe felt and something maybe with the dot on the table or the lines or something, or the pocket.
Or the balls.
So
a matrix with the balls.
I assume a lot of magicians, it's mostly magicians on this. So I'm not going to go into too much method, but the same thing, like whether you want to have like a kind of like a sponge ball type kind of thing,
right? Interesting.
Or what have you, but something that has to play big. The problem with pool table is that the table's on the stage, they have to get a camera involved, you want to look down on the table.
Yeah,
right?
that's acceptable nowadays though.
Yeah, it is a lot more popular. So there's all these different variables that I haven't played with yet, and I can't wait for people to have ideas with that. Or anyone listening to this, you know, you have ideas or want to play around with, you know, whether it's felt or pool cues or football or something like that.
Are you thinking green art instead of black art?
Black art? Would it work as well?
I don't know. I have no idea. Maybe if it's dark enough, I don't know.
I think Shin Lim did enough of that black art stuff. I don't think I'm going to be releasing anything like that.
What about, so when you said SpongeBobs, are you saying they're sponge balls that look like U-balls?
I don't
like pool.
You can make them
like pool balls.
We know how if you take a sponge, like you get those larger sponge balls, and if you fill them with water, they're very, they can easily get larger than a pool ball. I imagine if you talk to a manufacturer, because man, a lot of these guys come up with magician, like all the gimmicks, they're all custom made yep. things out of a factory or what have you. So if you want to go to those lengths and make something unique that nobody else has, talk to a manufacturer, they can custom make something for your show, for your effect, for your thing. And I think I want to be more unique that way.
Nice, man. There's I can already, I'm my mind's just running with all these ideas for pool style tricks. Yeah. So, man,
like I'm by no means the guy who creates all of his own stuff for my
That's going to be awesome.
Show, but I try to take stuff and make it mine or have something, you know, purely new, but I always just trying to always think of stuff or drawing stuff down. Like you always said, have a pen and papers, write it down. And then maybe nothing sticks years after or a week after or hour after, get back to it. And like, oh yeah, you learned a new method. Or you learned something else that, hey, could come back. Or that there's a technology now that can do it.
Right.
That wasn't possible 10 years ago, right? Now with technology even, it's crazy. Whether you want to be a purist with your magic or not. And again, whatever you're comfortable with, it's your open. So
nice, man.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what else did you want to talk about today?
Well, I'm most excited just to see you in general. This is fantastic. How about for you? Because I know it's you're asking me questions. How are you kind of adapting to this? I'm assuming our discussions have been so far like off the podcast, so, you know, optimistic, and we're excited for when this is over. Obviously, we're gonna push hard and keep going. And you were taking the reins. But hey, we got this podcast going because you had plans. You had awesome plans for this whole idea. And instead of being like, oh, no, it's garbage, I'm just going to wait it out till it's ready. Okay, like, hey, no, we're just going to switch it up.
I went through that phase, though. Yeah. I went through that dark phase of, damn, it's all over, to ramping up and being like, no, I decide.
Yeah. I think we come this far. It's there's no way. I've heard lots of people say it, and it's cliche too. Try to come out stronger from this even.
Oh, yeah.
Than
dude.
Came into it. Like, I had things in the works, as a lot of other magicians listening to this probably did too. Like, oh, I had this a brand new show I was trying to launch, or this new thing I was trying to do, or what have you. And like, will that stop you? Just maybe you refine it more, or maybe even work on the more marketing on it more, or what have you. Because I know for me, this stuff I had kind of going down that I'm like, okay, let's just get postponed. That means I have more time to work on and to better
it. Yeah, man. So for
later 2020 or 2021, oh man, like something to be excited. That's what gets me going.
Even the magicians that aren't full-time, they can use this opportunity as momentum to become full-time when it's over.
Yep. Well, because I think what holds people back from whether any profession from being part-time and having your full-time, you know, 9 to 5 is, you know, people with families, you have your kids or you have, you know, a significant other or your friends or your pet, like you have a lot of stuff in the day. You go in the gym, you got to do this and then food and sleep. Like, how do you find, a lot of people don't find time or can't find time, whatever the reason is. Something like this, where now those people who aren't working their regular typical job, whatever it is, they can take that time and hone something and work on it. And like, oh yeah, hey, if I quit this job or maybe cut my hours back, I would be productive. I would work on this stuff. I could do it. Like, is it possible? I think I hope that's the question everyone asks themselves. Like, is this possible? Can I do this? Like, you run the numbers, obviously. It's important. I know you want to be like, oh yeah, I want to do magic, but you got to, can you pay the bills? Will you get enough gigs? Cause it's tricky. Like, man, there's seasons with magic too. Sometimes, like sometimes Christmas season will book up like so far in advance, and other times it's maybe not as, or sometimes there's that one date that just bonkers.
Yeah.
For some reason, you know, like it's usually the second weekend of December, but there's that one date that's crazy. And sometimes it's slower or what have you. So there's a lot of ebb and flow. And it's like,
what do you think of
take on that risk? But with any entrepreneur, everyone takes on that risk.
Yeah, man.
It's a rush. It's an absolute rush. It gets you, it lights the fire under you.
What do you think like, about this Christmas season? Do you think it's happening?
Ooh, good question.
Like what, based on like your bookings and stuff, what do you see happening firsthand?
I think, oh man, maybe the large corporations won't. They'll do something different or push it back. Christmas, like we've done January Christmas parties before. Maybe they'll do January or February even. I think smaller Christmas parties will happen in December. Like I'm getting inquiries right now for Christmas parties.
Yeah.
I have people canceling in September, October, and be like, I want to book November, December. And like, I don't have a crystal. Like, unfortunately, with all my magical powers, I cannot foresee into the future myself. I don't know what's going to happen. I'm optimistic that there will be some type of celebration. Because whether it's a Christmas party or, you know, that kind of a holiday party, I think people are going to need something to celebrate.
Yeah.
People are going to want to come together in a safe way somehow, where we can all come together once this is done and we're in the clear. But then there's always that, you know, that scary idea that it can come back. But I'm not a medical professional. I don't know what's going to happen. I think Christmas will happen, though. I think it will.
Nice.
I hope it does.
Yeah, man.
Because I want to be performing. Like, I don't think I would get rusty by any means, but again, that rush, that feeling I get is really, really, really cool. And the best way to go out and practice is in front of people. Because I can perform that snap change in front of a mirror as many times as I want, but it's not going to matter until I go out and, you know, do it in front of someone live, and or the angle is like, oh yeah, right. It's only good for 2 degrees, right? So you don't know this stuff until you go out and perform.
Yeah, exactly, man.
it's all that kind of stuff. Like, yeah, I don't know. Optimistic though.
Yeah.
Are you hoping, are you getting stuff like any quite or next year? Like, I think 2021 is like going to be the year, I guess.
Yeah, man. I definitely know that whenever there's a type of dip for performers, like a recession style, like kind of what we're going through, performers always flourish at the end. Because everybody needs entertainment, they need escapism, and that's what entertainers are here for, to give everybody those hits of dopamine.
You know, it's an interesting thing I just thought about too, because I know I'm thinking about you and your kind of shows. Like, you like to travel a lot too, and you like to go to different places for it. Like, the travel idea is going to be different. Like, say a lot of entertainers maybe only perform 10% of their events in their hometown or home city. A lot of them either do traveling events or get flown out a lot or what have you. And I'm more local in the province and around provinces, but some people they're more international and that kind of stuff in their careers. Something like that might change a lot of stuff too. Or another positive thing could be a lot of people are going to hire more local entertainers, which would be really,
yeah,
really cool for startup people and people who they're not used to. Like, there's people in small towns. There's a few full-time entertainers in Saskatchewan, or quite a few, I guess, but like in the grand scheme of things. Maybe these smaller towns and communities are like, oh yeah, let's look inside. Who is up and coming and who wants to try it out and give them a chance? And it could kickstart a lot of stuff that way too. So I'm always trying to take one thing and spin it into a positive, because I think it's to look at each other as we're to work with each other, not like against each other. Like, hey, what does it hurt to have somebody else try it out? Because the more the merrier.
Yeah, man.
I think that's what our community's been starting to do. And it's good vibes, like really good vibes. Everybody is trying to come together, which is really, really cool to see.
So. Yeah, man. I envision a time and a place where all the magicians are all working together to get lay people addicted to magic shows. So that way everybody books just magic shows and we just cycle through.
We brought this up. I think it was last week. We were disc golfing. I don't know if you guys know this. Hadlin, huge disc golfer. huge disc golfer. So we were disc golfing, and he was kicking my butt, and brought up the idea of like having a cycle of us entertainers where we're all very different shows. You can have four magic shows and just be completely different, right? People, like, even if a magician does the same effect, it can be completely different. People wouldn't even recognize it, right? So have that, and this cycling through it, right? Or take, you know, or yeah, every second year, things like that. Or hey, hypnosis, then magic,
yep,
then this, then that.
Because how often do we cycle through our shows and make a new show, right? Like,
yeah, so by the second year, it's already another, yeah.
Yep.
I love it. Like, it's a really, really cool idea. Because I think magic right now in the world is huge. A lot
bigger
of
than it's ever been.
Oh, it's hands down. Obviously, the technology and social media is a big thing, but Penn & Teller show, like David Blaine and Chris Angel obviously kind of started it, and David Copperfield obviously,
oh, yeah,
and that kind, yeah, of thing, but with now with like Penn & Teller show, and then with the Fool Us and Shin Lim kind of blew it up, and then all the America's Got Talent, and it's people are loving magic.
Yeah, so people, magicians are winning everywhere.
Like I said at the start, people either want to watch it for entertainment or want to know how it's done. Either way, people are commenting, I loved it, or hey, this is my theory of how they did it.
Yep.
It's almost as much for magicians who sometimes know the method. It's funny to see what people kind of put down. I'm like, oh yeah, that's how it's done. It's like, it's not always elastic, it's not always magnets, I swear. It's pretty funny to see what people guess, but I think magic's bigger than it ever has been, and it's really beneficial for us because people are googling like, hey, local magician or what have you, right? Like, corporate party magician or something, and we're coming up, we're doing the events. All the magicians I know around this area are just killing it. Everyone's just crushing it, doing good. Everyone's like, the name for entertainers in this province and around or has been really good, that it's just been keep going, keep doing it. And that's what I'd love to.
So what are your big outlandish goals, so to speak, for your career?
Yeah. Well, I'm launching another company here after this is over. I'll be launching another company as well, which I'm very excited for. So that will be more of like an agency, I guess, yeah, too. And we're doing a lot of other entertainment stuff, and doing that way, again, for me, I'm only one person, so I can only do X amount of events in a year. So say I max out this year, I was hoping to, but now obviously not. Like say next year, it's like I'm maxed out. How can I still get more events? How, when people contact me, can I still promise them top quality entertainment, but not from me? It's like, hey, well, here's other things we offer, whether it is a magic show or a hypnosis show or DJ services or anything else, right? We can do that, and they can have really good quality stuff, and make some from a company they trust, from a person they trust, and they know it's going to be just amazing, blow their mind,
right? Because you've built that brand.
Well, it's and that's the whole thing. It's the branding. And like, I hate to come back to it, but it is branding. It is the marketing. It's just having that top, showing up day in and day out with that top quality. Like, I learned early on, like, don't cheap out on stuff. Like a good example, say would like be DJ equipment. Like the first like couple lights I bought, I was just like, okay, I'm kind of getting into this. Let's just get whatever. Mm-hmm. Then my mentor at DJ, he's like, man, don't, like, it'll be good for a year, but is it going to last you five? Is it, you know? Go just get what's the best you can get, and the customers are going to appreciate it, because there's going to be something off. Maybe they won't notice the exact model or the exact thing that's different, but they're going to know. They're going to, like, okay, that there is something off. Say for these two companies, these two businesses, like, they're bringing it. They're bringing it, and they care about what they do. They're passionate about what they do. And I think that stands out when the client afterwards is like, hey, like, thank you. That went like above and beyond anything we could have imagined. And you're like, okay, like you feel good. Because events are hard to put on, man. Event planners and a lot of companies who are running events, people who are running them haven't really done it before. So it's easy, like, hey, talk to me. I can, you know, help. Not as an event planner per se, but help you get along the lines of what do you need? What's going to be perfect for that amount of people or that type of event? What the kind of feel you're going for? So my goal is to keep expanding across Saskatchewan, across Canada, and just keep growing that way. Keep making connections with people who have the same passion as I do, the same drive as I do, because it's infectious. It is so infectious. That's why I try to surround myself with other entrepreneurs, other people who have similar ideas, or maybe who have an opposite mindset, who then you can kind of play devil's advocate with sometimes. And I can pose a question or idea and be like, well, here's the opposite side of it, right? And that gets you thinking. Mm. Sometimes you have to be challenged with what you think.
Right.
I find.
Right. Right.
Like, here's your idea.
Don't always have yes people.
Yeah. Well, exactly. Cause that's not, doesn't help you.
Yeah.
Like, as we all make mistakes, we're not perfect. Like, people think, you know, like magicians, like, oh, like, do you mess up, or, you know, have you messed up a trick or a show and stuff? Like, man, the first, how many years I was practicing with my friends, they saw me mess up more times than I can count. That's why you got to practice. You got to do that kind of stuff. You got to make the mistakes, and it sucks, but how do you get better? So now, taking all what I've learned, I'm trying to keep pushing it forward. That's why I feel like I'm just starting off. I feel like I'm just starting my business, because it's always something else. There's always the next step I have to accomplish.
Mm-hmm.
So I felt, when does it stop? I don't know.
Just keeps going, right?
I want to keep going. Like, I really do. I love it. Like, I don't know if there's a certain thing I have to hit that I'll be like, okay, I'm happy, I'm satisfied. But like you said, we can perform till we're like 75, 80. For us, there is no expiration date, you know, obviously until we pass, but like, we can keep going. Like, are we ever going to retire, me and you or any of these magicians? No way. There's no way you can stop. You're not going to I'm going to have a deck of cards and be like, okay, no, that's it. I did my final ambitious routine. I'm done. That was it. Nailed it. Never going to, like, it's who you are. It defines you too sometimes. And that's what's really cool. Cause sometimes you'll come up, like, magicians can attest, like, you go to a party, oh yeah, that's the magician. That's, you know, that's so-and-so. Mm-hmm. And that's what they can recognize you for. Like, that's when, you know, like, okay, yeah, it's a trait. It's who you are. It's part of you. you can own it. And I'm never going to retire per se. Maybe I can reduce the amount of events I have or have a certain select amount when I'm, you know, 40, 50, 60, or just try to flights, internet, like travel while doing it. That's eventually my goal too, just travel more and travel shows. And I love traveling.
Yep.
Obviously, lately I've not been able to, but that's another itch I've been trying to scratch for a while. But that's kind of my goal. Just keep expanding, keep moving, travel more, and just see where it takes me. There's no final goal that's coming like, yeah, that's it, because I don't think I'm ever going to reach that.
And kind of get the business set up so when you're traveling, it still runs.
Exactly. I want to be more like, yeah, talk more business talk. I want to have more automated, right? Where I can have it almost running itself, where eventually I'll have the staff capable who can, I can trust them to do that same amount of service and passion. The issue is with any business, again, I'm looking at now with more business standpoint than a magician standpoint, is that the people are never going to be as into it as you are, whether they're employees or subcontractors or what have you. They're never going to have the same passion you do in your business because it's your name on it. It's your baby. So it's get the closest thing to that you can get. The people, like, you know, vet them, train them, put everything you can, and then hopefully you can just like let them go, and they're going to, you know, you can trust that they're going to do something really crazy. That's what you did with me. You know, when you took me under your wing, you're like, hey, here's what I have. Here's what I take, and go off and go on your own path. Right. And we've had some similarities in our career. Then we've had some huge separations in our career of what we've done. That's what makes us unique. Right. Cause there's magic and hypnosis similar. Then you did a lot of videography stuff. Right. And that kind of thing. And then podcast, like, I've never touched that kind of stuff. That's not my kind of forte. It's not what I'm passionate about. So like, hey, let's go to do more DJ and do other things. And it's just really cool. You kind of see throughout your career of different paths you want to do. And it just, they, sometimes they click.
Mm-hmm.
You're like, yeah, that does suit me. Or I would really like to try that out, or just do it as a hobby. We still do stuff as hobbies all the time. It keeps us busy. We're not doing magic, you know, 24/7.
So what are some of your hobbies, bro?
Hobbies. Pool. I probably mentioned
it. Yeah, but you're like, you say that it's a hobby, but you're like at an elite level. Ever put money down on the table against this guy, because you've got
to
lose.
I like to go to Vegas for tournaments.
Yeah.
I love pool. I play like league and stuff on tournaments. I love it. I don't play as competitive anymore as I used to, like when I did like nationals and went to Vegas and stuff. I just do it more of as a getaway. I can put my earbuds in or listen to new music, go play pool by myself or with friends or whoever or old teammate. I love pool. That's what I started before magic even. Like, I love pool. It's really, really cool. Again, same thing. I asked myself, okay, well, pool, can I make a career out of pool? Not really. So like, okay, I'm just going to keep it. I love it. I'm not going to stop doing it. But when I started doing magic, I was like, I love this too, with just as much passion, but I feel like I can do something with it more.
Mm-hmm.
With rides, so spin, I teach spin class a couple days a week as well. So staying in shape, I try to go to the gym. Obviously right now it's a lot harder, but I try a gym, you know, 5-6 days a week, stay in shape with that. Disc golf, obviously I do. Real golf, I like a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Golf membership too. So I try to golf as much as possible, get out there. Cause as a full-time entertainer, we're busy with events, you know, Friday, Saturday, typically. So weekdays is when the meetings happen, when the phone calls happen. And luckily I can do my office stuff in the morning, get all my stuff done. And then I can have like the afternoon to either go golf and still answer emails and calls and texts and kind of have my time for myself, and then kind of back to work in the evening again too. So every day does look different. I don't have the same sort of day every single day, but I try to have those takeaways or something to look forward to too. Cause a lot of what we do, people understand, we're not just on the stage. Like when people pay us for an event, we're not just doing that 1 hour show. Like we put so much stuff into it, like years, decades. And there's magicians who've done practice a certain thing for 50 years. A certain one effector, they hone it, and that's what they're bringing, and that experience to a show. So when people pay us for an hour, it's not just, oh yeah, why you charge X amount of dollars for an hour? It's like, well, that's not really it. And how about all the advertising and marketing stuff we did and paid for this? And we have bills and all this kind of stuff. Like it's a full-time gig, and sometimes even more than that, you know, than others. So I try to keep busy as much as possible with that day in and day out. So
I like it, man. I like it, dude. Yeah. So what's the best way for those listening to find you and connect with you?
Best way right now would definitely be online. So that would be a website, andrewkanakin.com. A lot of fun stuff on there. We got Facebook, Instagram's Kanakin Entertainment. It's my company name. You can find me on YouTube. You get me on Twitter, on the Snapchat. Throw me on some Pinterest.
You're on all the things.
TikTok coming up. Literally anywhere. Google. Pretty much anywhere you could think I would be on. I'm on it right now. Because, again, adapting. Right now is a perfect time to try new platforms. Because TikTok, as you see, is getting bigger. Whether you hate it or love it, it's coming up. And people, your eyes on phones. There's people doing it. So.
Yep. Can't ignore it, unfortunately.
Posting content. And, yeah, you can contact me. Call, email. Happy to always collaborate with people, talk magic, talk business. I love it. I absolutely love it. So.
Nice, man. Well, I just want to, before we finish this off, I just want to say how appreciative I am of you making some time for this and, you know, jumping on here and having a conversation with me and sharing so much of your life with us. It's been an amazing experience, way, way overdue. And yeah. I feel like I know you so much better now, and that makes me happy. So thank you so much for sharing that, man. And yeah, I look forward to jamming with you in person, because it's been way too long, man.
Good old days. Get together and just start creating stuff and doing things and going making videos. Like, hey, let's pull a shirt out of our eye in public downtown.
Or let's go switch our shirts at the keg. Or
the keg. Oh, man.
Is that video still around, by the way?
It's very old. It's like 9 years old video of us doing a shirt change.
Because I want to put that and our new one into one single video. Yeah. As like the 10-year challenge or something? Pretty is that what much. They call it?
And I think it'll show just the camera. Like, it was, that was really
cool. Wasn't it with a cell phone too?
It was something like, an LG flip phone probably or something. A Razor.
Man.
That was wild. I know the second you messaged me about this, like, hey, want to be on my podcast? It's probably the quickest. I was like, yup. When and where? Let me know. I'm happy to be on here. Thanks for having me. Cause this is going to be great. People are going to love this. They're going to, the content you're making and doing and connecting with people and magicians. You know, when people are apart right now, brings us together, and could not be at a better time too. So thanks, Adlin.
Yeah, man. And thank you, Andrew. Have a good day. There you have it, everybody. That was Andrew Kanakin. I hope you enjoyed that episode. I really enjoyed our conversation together, and I learned so much more about my friend Andrew and his business and how much he's grown as a individual, as a business person, and as an entertainer. I really admire what he's doing right now, and I really look forward to seeing what he grows into the future. So now, if you would like to support this podcast, of course, subscribe, of course, let us know, but also head over to our Patreon and become one of the members on there, because in this episode, we ended it, but then we ended up talking for like another 20 to 30 minutes or something like that. And that was even crazier than the episode. Something happens when all of a sudden it's, you know, just psychologically when you're no longer on the spot, it's more relaxed. I'm going to try to get future guests into that mode, myself included, because I do that all the time. As soon as the camera's on, the microphone's on, I'm like, oh. So I'm doing my best to give my full, honest me, my truths, and hopefully that comes through in the podcast. And I believe I'm closer than ever before to being that version of myself. But so head over to the patreon.com/HADLEN, and we'll see you on the next episode, guys. We have some crazy guests line up. So have a good day, and I'll see you next time.